Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Leonardo De Filippis from St. Luke Production. Welcome, Leonardo.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. It's great to be with you and your listeners.
And it's good to have you back on here again, this time in person. I remember the last time that we had a chance to talk, it was without you being here, we were able to talk only over the telephone. You're much clearer this way.
Oh, do I? Oh, good. Hopefully I look all right, too.
Leonardo, we're never without a prayer here. Would you mind opening us up with a brief word, lifting us up to God?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we come into your presence, mindful of your love and your mercy. We ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, especially all those who are listening to this program, that they can be lifted up to the Lord, they can have hope, they can have trust, and they can have true and perfect charity in their hearts. We ask for peace in this world, peace in our families especially. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father,
Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, Leonardo, you are here primarily because we have an upcoming set of events that are going to take place that actually are a continuation of a series of events that has been going on at the diocese for quite some time. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up.
Well, we're going to, it'll be a new series of plays that will be done, performances, on the life of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, as many people know of her. And this is part of this ongoing Christ Cathedral drama series that we have been doing for almost now 2.5 years. So it's been an exciting thing to establish something on a continuous basis here in the Diocese of Orange, here at Christ Cathedral, at the Fried Theater underneath the Cultural Center. Thérèse is our one of our more popular programs that we've done, and of course she's one of the most popular saints in modern history, so we're able to bring her to life in a face-to-face encounter in a live drama. So that's where I'm really excited to be back here again. And it's always a pleasure for me to come back here. It seems like I come here every quarter now or something of that nature. So I'm getting to know the freeways.
Now, I know that you did the production, the DVD production that's out there, the movie, Thérèse,
yes.
The Story of a Soul. This is not that.
No, we did the movie in 2000. We filmed it in 2000, actually, and then opened it up in the movie theaters and went through the chain, you know, all the Regal Cinemas, et cetera, in 2004. And went into 2005 for 71 weeks, was going to throughout the country and into Canada and Mexico, et cetera. So that version is the movie version, which was one of the first movies by a Catholic organization to get into the movie theaters. So that's a whole more full-blown feature film. The play opened up the historical part of this, Rick, is that it opened in 1997 for the 100th anniversary of her death. And the Carmelite nuns in the country, the cloistered nuns, asked me, since I have a long relationship with cloistered nuns, they wanted me to do a performance to honor the life of Saint Thérèse. And so that's what we did. And so this is a continued relaunching of this show. We found an incredible actress who plays the role, Audrey Ahern. She's from an actress from Dallas, Texas. And so we're bringing this back because she is so good and she's able to bring this story to life. And the reason we really do this, Rick, is because seeing a live performance is a whole nother encounter experience than still being a spectator listening to, you know, something on the radio or watching a movie or watching something on television. When you have a live performance, then it does something different. Just as I can see you now, rather than just talking on the phone, I can see a human being where we could look into each other's eyes and read body language, et cetera. So we have found by doing these performances here at Christ Cathedral and bringing the lives of the saints, it's just been a real moving experience for the audience.
This production's coming up January the 27th, 28th, and 29th. Now, that's being held here at the cathedral. What's the venue like for you? What's the experience? For if you had the audience coming in and they didn't know anything about this cathedral, what are they in for?
Well, I think what you find here, and many people, of course, have come here because they're part of this community, but we've noticed the audience is coming from San Diego, from north of Los Angeles. Even some people have driven all the way from the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, to come down just to see the shows here at the Christ Cathedral campus. So when you come down here, of course, you see this beautiful, what is it, 35 acres of property. You see all these beautiful buildings. You see the Christ Cathedral being renovated, etc. And then you go to the beautiful Catholic Cultural Center, which is, you know, a beautiful architectural work. And then way underneath on the bottom is the Freed Theater. And the reason we're really there, and then Bishop Vann has wanted us to come here initially, that's how all this started. You have a beautiful theater. It holds about 325 people. And it's raked down, so everyone has a beautiful seat. Everyone can see the performance. And because it's not so huge, everyone can hear. So from a theatrical standpoint, it's a beautiful space. It creates a very intimate encounter with the story, with the actress, with the saint. And so that's why we've loved coming down here and seeing the audience. And we see some people will come again to see it again, see the programs, whatever one we're doing. Or it'll be brand new people that hear about it from other parts of the whole California region here, particularly your L.A. metro area.
The last time that you and I talked, we had a different production that you were putting on here. I believe it was on St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
What are the productions that you've put on in the past at the diocese so far?
Well, we put on St. Faustina, A Messenger of Divine Mercy. That's been one of our more popular programs. And that's been here three times, believe it or not. It's been sold out almost every time we've come here. Because obviously with the preparation and the Year of Mercy, that was a big draw also. We've done St. Therese here one other time. We've done St. John Vianney, St. Maximilian Kolbe. We've done St. Francis of Assisi. We've done the Passion according to Luke, which we did during, I think it was last Lent, during Passion Sunday. So it was a perfect thing, reflection for all of us. So our goal is that we're still coming back with these layers of some of the same shows because we're just scratching the surface here in Southern California for people to see these programs. And a lot of people want to see them again because they miss something that they didn't catch the first time. And so that's been happening. And we're going to be providing, hopefully adding a new show every year so that our goal here, Rick, and is to really establish one of the first Catholic theater companies here, not only in the West Coast, but in a sense in the United States, because there's really not much happening in the whole United States of America in terms of Catholic presence in live drama.
Now, I know you're throughout the United States as well. What other venues have you been scheduled to put your performances on?
We go to the only states I have not been to in the United States of America are Mississippi and South Carolina. We got to work
on that.
I'm working on Mississippi and South Carolina. So I got to work on those states, but I had the pleasure all these years to go to all those other states and into Canada. We performed in Ireland, England, the island of Malta. We've been to Rome. So we've had a diversity of collage. But what's so beautiful about doing this, you know, I came from the Shakespearean background. I was at more familiar for people around here would be the Old Globe Theater in San Diego, at Balboa Park down there, or Oregon Shakespeare Festival up north on the California border in Oregon. But the thing is that now I go to venues that are I will go to huge theaters, just normal theaters that you'd have shows that you'd see. To universities, we'll go to parishes, rich and poor, we'll go to cloistered monasteries, we'll go to prisons. I've done, special groups, all like, say, as an example, Cardinal George had me come and perform for all his priests, 450 priests, just for the year of the priesthood. So, I've done all different denominations. Particularly with the Gospels and St. Francis of Assisi in our history. So, Protestant communities. I've done Trappist monks, Benedictines, Dominicans. It's just been amazing, really. And people who have never gone to theater. I've been on some places for fishermen who've never seen a play in their life. So it's an amazing, you think that somebody would have seen a play, but probably one of the more fascinating things is I do different cultures. I'll be performing for an entire, you know, Korean community or Indian community. Or, you know, so you have a total or completely, you know, Hispanic community. So, you know, you really get a sense of the universality of the church. And so that's what I've loved so much about it. I've even in Ireland, I have some connection with the Guinness beer. You know, we're at the Rupert Guinness Hall, you know, which is a theater on the Guinness campus. So who knows the history of that whole thing? You know, how many beers have been drunk in that place?
The Guinness Book of World Records would probably have that.
Maybe, yeah.
It's by the same company,
yeah,
too.
Maybe the first, I don't know. No, but we really have had, and, you know, we performed for the bishops, too, years ago with John Vianney. So I'm humbled, really, by that, and I think it's enriched me personally, and hopefully all the people who have seen these programs, to see the wide spectrum of, you know, the hidden. I think back even Mother Angelica having done a, you know, I was interviewed with her a number of times, et cetera, and we have our programs on the, you know, television and all that. But probably my greatest joy, not just being interviewed by her, but to actually perform for her the life, in this case, Maximilian Kolbe, this is before she still had her stroke and everything, but to be have her face-to-face, you know. It was amazing.
That's a fantastic story. And I want to remind our listening audience that you're listening to Leonardo De Filippis.
Yes.
And he is the CEO coordinator. What's your title for St. Luke?
Well, I'm president. I'm a director, producer, performer, actor. So I've done a lot of different things in our organization.
And when we come back, I want to ask you a couple stories about both your life and then the life of St. Therese. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. With me today is Leonardo De Filippis from St. Luke Productions, and I want to thank you so much for being here, Leonardo. And I'd like to ask for a moment for us to shift gears. We've been talking about the productions that you've put on, all these fantastic plays that you've been able to engage all over the world, all over the United States, with all these people who, both those who are of humble origins to bishops and everyone in between, you've had the great privilege to be able to bring these productions to the people around us. And yet I know that you have quite an interesting story yourself. How did you get involved with something like St. Luke Productions?
Well, originally, it started a long time ago. I was a Shakespearean actor primarily, you know, pursuing the normal professional line of a career. And during those times, you know, I was straying away from the faith, from our Catholic faith, which most actors do. I mean, it's not a really sympathetic environment for a deep Catholicism. We can just look at Hollywood and it's the mirror. You can see the mirror, you know, the image in the mirror.
This is an aside. My daughter, who's 17 and she's a junior in high school, her passion is musical theater. That's what she wants to do.
Yes.
And she keeps coming home from the high school productions. Dad, I don't know anyone there who is like me. But there are no Catholics. Don't worry, honey. I've got a production for you. We'll talk about it later.
I'll create one for you, honey.
There you go.
No, but you're right. And we do need good people of faith in those circles. I mean, in the movie industry and Broadway, community theater, et cetera, because you're in the musicals, because that's people love theater. Our children love it. They want to express themselves. It helps self-esteem itself as self-expression. But going back to your question, I was in the same boat, really. I was a shy person. I was a nervous person. I'm still probably nervous. But the point is that, you know, what I mean is that it helps you draw yourself out of yourself, so that then I started to do theater. And then once I got the bug, you know, so to speak, I said, I like it. I enjoy doing this. It challenges me. So when I was doing the theater, I had a reconversion back to the faith. Basically, that's what happened, Rick. I had drifted away, and one big crisis that happened to me at that time was there was a friend who was she had a drug problem, which I did not know at the time, and I was attracted to get to know her, et cetera. And then when I found out her situation, I became more empathetic, compassionate. How can I help this young woman? And so because of what she went through, I started to look around for how could I help her in terms of definitely for substance abuse, et cetera. So I was looking all the social things that you normally would look at, any friend or parent would probably. But it didn't occur to me that maybe I should pray for her. And so once that came into my heart to pray for her, then I was attracted to think, you know, maybe I should do that. Now, what happened before that, I had a very, you know, in the, we have a lot of, in the theater, there's a lot of gay people. And I had a good friend who, he had a very hard life, been abused, et cetera. And, but what happened is he gave me a rosary. He just said, he called me Leo at that time. Leo, I think you need this. I've held this onto this all my life. And, you know, I got this from childhood, but I think you need this. And I said, Jimmy, really, you want me to have this? And so, I took it, but I never did anything with it. Now, of course, he ends up dying of AIDS from this whole situation. But when I meet this woman later on, all of a sudden, I want to pray for her. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, I have this rosary that this actor gave me. And so I forgot how to even pray it. But I figured out how to at least do one Hail Mary.
So it's one, amazing what one
giant
Hail Mary
step
can do
for mankind.
Very true, though. Very true.
So I prayed for her, and then my life started changing.
See, isn't that amazing? This is something that I've seen a lot. People who start trying to help other people, pray for other people, intercede for other people, their own lives they explode with the compassion of Christ.
Absolutely,
it's an amazing thing.
Absolutely. And I can still remember a funny kind of story. I went into a church and I was in the back kind of complaining to God. I wasn't even going to the sacraments, I don't think. And, you know, I'm trying to, God, what do you want me to do? Why are you kind of hounding me? I don't know. You're starting to feel all this conflicting. You're kind of like St. Augustine in all his torturous ways, you know, anxiety and light and darkness. And so I'm in the back and this door opens and this little kid comes in about 10 years old. And I'm just, you know, like, I sink down so no one sees me in this church, you know, here how brave I was, you know. And he goes up and he kneels down for 10 minutes before the Blessed Sacrament. And I'm watching this kid, and he's still. And I think, how many 10-year-olds do I know that stay still, kneeling on the altar rail, you know, looking at the tabernacle? I've never seen anything like it. So he leaves, and I couldn't breathe. I thought, was that really a child? Is that really a person? So it was a symbol to me to calm down. It's okay. You can come to me. And so those series of events and changed my life to where now I started thinking about other things besides just the theater, my career, you know, wanting to be the star in that program, et cetera, and getting the best role, et cetera, you know, always wanting to be Hamlet, so to speak.
So where does St. Luke Productions come into this?
Well, St. Luke Productions comes in, and I did a poetry reading of the saints as an experiment. And that poetry reading in a little small convent with about maybe 25 people became the seed for St. Luke Productions. And then I went to Mount Angel Abbey, which is a Benedictine abbey up in Oregon, near Salem, Oregon, between Salem and Portland. And there was a monk there named Father Bernard Sanders, and he invited me after he befriended me, and I'd never been to a monastery in my life. He befriended me to do a creative performance for a family conference. And hence, I wanted to do St. Francis of Assisi originally because I was attracted to him, I think, as a young man, as I started to search the faith. But as I read his life, he was the true fundamentalist, if you want to say that. He went to the scriptures. And I said, you know, I don't know the scriptures hardly at all. And so I started reading the scriptures, and then it came to me that I should do the Gospel of Luke because someone had done the Gospel of Mark and someone had done the Gospel of Matthew. And, you know, I said, I can't do St. John. I can't do the Gospel of John. I'm not going to tackle that as a new neophyte, you know. So I took on Luke, and hence St. Luke Productions was born.
So it was named after the first play that you actually did in the format that you're using.
Yeah, exactly. And it just so happens that St. Luke, if anyone knows about the history of St. Luke, he was a physician, right? He's the patron saint of physicians, but he's also the patron saint of artists. So I've always had a love for the visual arts, too. He's the first person by, and you see this a lot in iconography, is he's the first one to paint an image of the Blessed Mother and Child.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Which we attribute to the Black Madonna, Our Lady of Częstochowa.
Oh, okay. That's
so if any of those Polish people out there, they'll explain to all your listeners.
Very good. So this took place roughly when? When did you actually get started on that?
This is all happening. My conversion is happening around 1970, between 75, 76. And then I start this in 1980.
St. Luke Productions begin in 1980.
It begins in 1980, and I'm preparing during that whole year to pull that off.
So you did St. Luke.
Yeah.
And then what came after that? Because that's just one production. So
that's one production.
One-man show with some helpers.
Yeah, with that. And then I did it at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And then right away, the priest, didn't know what to do. I had done the show, and he says, well, it's Lent. Why don't you do The Passion? So then I created The Passion of Luke, which came here, last Lent. And then after that, the Franciscans got a hold of me and said, it's the 800th anniversary of St. Francis. Let's do something on St. Francis of Assisi. And so that was a very interesting thing because I went and lived with the poor. I actually put together the show with people from the street, misfits I was living with and with Franciscans, excuse me. And I put the show together and then we opened it up for 3,000 people.
Wow.
So in Portland, Oregon at that time. From then on, from there, I went on to do the Gospel of John.
You finally did John.
I finally did it. I took, which is still one of my most difficult shows because it's the entire Gospel of John.
There's a lot of words of Jesus.
There's a lot of words. Jesus says a lot of things in that gospel. He has more lines in that than all the other gospels put together almost.
I am, I am, I am.
Amen, amen, I say to you, which way should I go with my words?
So those productions led you to doing all over the place. When did you start coming to the Diocese of Orange?
Well, I came here years ago, coming to what I mentioned earlier, alluded to, we perform at parishes and stuff. So I had been at some parishes, here and there in this region of the country. It really wasn't until we had a performance at the Napa Institute in Napa, California, and I met Bishop Van. Now, Bishop Van and I go way back in that when he was just a pastor in Springfield Diocese in Illinois, for those people in California who don't know where Springfield is, and Abraham Lincoln.
Land of Lincoln.
So we met there, and so that's where this whole thing got kind of connected, and he wanted us to do these programs.
So which ones did you start with?
We started with St. Faustina because that was the first one he saw, and we thought that would be a great fit to bring down here as an initial opening. And we had no idea if this would continue. It was just a one-weekend event.
Well, obviously, it's been very successful, and you've been selling out most of the productions that have come.
Yes.
We've got this new one coming up on St. Therese, The Story of a Soul, and that's going to be January 27th, 28th, 29th. When we come back, I want you to lead us through that a little bit.
Yes.
So that way we can get a feeling for what that production is going to be like. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Leonardo De Filippis, who has started and run a wonderful gift of God to the world, St. Luke's Productions. And it's been here at the Diocese of Orange and is coming back in January to bring us St. Therese. And when we come back, we will tackle that. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Leonardo De Filippis from St. Luke Productions. And we were talking in the last segment a little bit about your story and how you were brought back to the faith, really by having people that you were graced with in your life who had problems. And you were empowered to find Christ again through helping these people.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that help led you into these one-person plays, although you can call it a one-person play. I know you've got an entourage of people that helped to make it happen, but most of these are done with just one actor or actress. Is that right?
That is correct.
Now, the one that's coming up, which, by the way, for anyone who's interested, that's going to be January 27th, 28th, 29th, and they need to get tickets for this. So they're going to need to go to our website and find that information. That's Roman Catholic Bishop of Orange. And if you log in, you'll be able to find that. But it's rcbo.org, as I recall. But anyway, this production of St. Therese, what is this experience like? If I were to bring my children, I've got three daughters who are high school and one beyond, and I wanted to bring them in, what would they encounter?
Well, I think what they'd encounter, first of all, you're going to encounter one of the most beautiful stories that has ever been written. It's based off the a story of a soul. It's the writings of St. Therese telling her autobiographical story. And so we've edited all that into a, crystallized it into an actual drama. And you'll be able to just see, you'll enter into her life as a child, as she goes through her life, as she enters the monastery, as she becomes a nun, all the hardships she goes through, and finally, when she gets tuberculosis and dies at a very young age of 24. But what's so charming about it is you have, she almost, I would say, she disarms you. If you go to this performance and you have all kinds of problems in your life, or if you're just anxious about things, there's something about this beautiful young woman, her story, St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, that just is able to help you surrender. There's a great phrase in the Divine Office that says, surrender to God and he will do everything. And this is really true with St. Therese. She's known as the little saint. And I think another thing that is so gorgeous about this is the music is absolutely just beautiful. It's composed by a cloistered nun that's a friend of ours with our ministry, and she's the first composer of a play on this level with an orchestra, and so it's a beautiful music. And so with the music, with the words, with the acting, with the lights, with the sound, all that combined into this beautiful story, it kind of takes your breath away. And I've seen so many people, they get swept away, they cry. It's a wonderful thing for all ages. But you know, so many times you'll do this performance, you're talking about daughters in your own, but all these daughters will come, or even young daughters, little girls will just follow the actress all over the place after the show. It's very charming, very touching. And so I think it's a beautiful program that we're so proud that we've been just, or honored, which is a better way to saying it, and humbled to just have been a part of bringing this to the people all these years, and especially to bring it now to Southern California.
It sounds like a person, as if someone didn't know this saint,
yeah,
the way you just described it, it sounds almost depressing. I mean, she's gone through a life that ends with tuberculosis at 24.
Right.
What is it, do you think, about her life and how it's portrayed in your production that is so uplifting?
Well, she goes through a lot of tragedy. She's if people don't know the story of St. Therese of Lisieux, she is a bourgeois, the youngest of many children. She's a spoiled little brat. She never had to make her bed.
Bourgeois is a fancy word for saying rich person.
Yeah, rich person.
Okay.
Well off. She was well-to-do, well-family, you know, pretty dresses and all the different things that girls all like, you know. And so she grew up this way, so she cried a lot. She didn't get her way. But what happens is her mother dies when she's young. She's about 5 years old, and that traumatizes her. And it affects her whole life. But she has a major conversion when she's around 12 years old for Christmas.
Very young, I remember.
Very young. And so that conversion is so powerful to her, that God almost infuses her with great courage and faith. And so she starts to take, as she says, giant steps. So she now wants to become a nun. She's too young. She's 15 years old. And so and the father, now a saint, St. Louis Martin, and the mother, Zélie Martin, she's also a saint. So the parents of St. Therese. And so because all the girls that survive of the nine children, there's five girls that survive from, you know, after birth, et cetera, from infancy, they all become nuns. And St. Oh. Therese, the youngest, leads the way becoming a saint. And so she goes through this conversion at Christmas, and then she's able to get final permission to enter the monastery, and she goes through all these hardships. But what she discovers is this little way, which she's famous for, of doing little things out of love for God, for others, as you mentioned earlier, Rick. And because of that, she opens a door for everybody. And she dies a heroic death, kind of like, you know, Mother Teresa is named after her, too, the little flower. But the thing is, she says, her famous line is, I shall, when she's dying with tuberculosis, she says to her sister Polly, I shall come down from heaven to do good on earth. I will send a shower of roses. And because of that, so many people pray to St. Therese. She's become one of the most famous saints of our modern times. I mean, people pray to her and things happen. You know, it's so many miracles, so many signs. And so she has been, she is a force. When she was canonized, right, she was the Pope called, I think Pope Pius, they called, Pope Pius X called her the Hurricane because so much happened. And she is the most famous saint in the world in modern times because she's, her bones, we call it the, I call it the rolling bones tour.
The rolling bones.
But she's gone everywhere. And she had a dream. Yes. She says, I want to preach the gospel on all five continents at the same time. Well, what happened? She, an astronaut in Houston, went to the nuns, the cloistered nuns there, and said to the sister, you know, mother, what would you like me to do? Anything? She says, I would like you to take the relics of St. Therese up into space. So imagine that. She's been to all the countries in the world, her relics, physically, but she's also been in space, zipping around the planet.
Wow.
So no other. So it's really symbolic of the mystery of this young girl who died so young.
Call it just symbolic. One of the things, as a convert, one of the things that I've noted in Catholic faith that is so radically different than Protestantism is the spiritual physical dynamic that you don't really have in Protestantism. In Protestantism, because of the concept of faith alone, it's really very cerebral.
Right.
It's mostly about your head.
Right.
In Catholicism, it's about the smells and bells. It's about all of the sensuality.
Yes.
And one of the things that really hits converts is that sensuality. And that's why Mass is so different for a Catholic than just a regular church service would be in Protestantism. Which brings me back to the productions that you do. Because as we were talking about earlier, this is a production that is live. So you did a wonderful movie that is available that they can get from Amazon or from your website or lots of different places, but that's not this. This is a live production where you actually get to encounter a human being portraying this.
Exactly. It's almost the symbolism, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's the live actual performance. We would like, do we want to hear Jesus on the radio? Do you want to watch him on television? Do you want to see him in a movie? But what would it be like to see him face to face? It's a different human experience. And you incorporate all the senses that God has given us. So that's why this is a very powerful format. It's very intimate. It's fleeting. It'll just happen. It's a one-time experience, so to speak. If you come Friday night, you know, Saturday night or Sunday afternoon for one of these performances in January, you know, you're going to have that experience. And so that's why I think it's so powerful, because I think we need to have that once in a while as a kickstart. That's why we do this work, because I think it's, you know, the saints are exemplary people. And as you mentioned, the thing about, we have not just sola scriptura, just faith, you know, scripture alone, but we have the whole thing is there's scripture and there's sacred tradition. And you're talking about the relics you can touch. I have a relic of St. Therese, for example, and relics of other saints that a lot of religious have given me to take with me on these tours. And you'd see that's really part of that person, you know, to see these or to see an incorrupt body. You know, a saint, the only incorrupt bodies that I know of are all saints. It's a sign to us of the heavenly kingdom that, you know, we're going to have bodies when we go back up to heaven, you know, at the second coming.
And what's amazing about St. Therese is that she had what we would call a dry experience as she came to the end of her life.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons why she was made a doctor of the church is because despite her inability to feel the joy of God's presence anymore.
Right.
She still had faith in God's presence.
She did indeed. And that's what we call that the fog. She had this, like she called, it's like a giant fog in her life where she had no faith whatsoever. She had no consolation that God existed. And I think that is, she had it for a long time, three straight years. and before she dies. And then only at the moment of her death, she has a vision in the sense of Christ himself, and she's filled with joy, and she dies this beautiful death as she looks at the crucifix of Jesus and has a vision of Jesus. And so, and I think a lot of people feel that way, Rick. You know, a lot of people feel, and I don't feel God today. I don't feel his presence, you know, after all this time. And I think Therese helps us break through that. What do we do when we're in those kind of situations?
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Leonardo DeFilippis. And when we come back, we're going to continue this. I'm going to tell people about how they can get involved.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and with me today is Leonardo DeFilippis, who is the very brave owner and operator of St. Luke Production. Brave because he's been here with us for the last 45 minutes, and we've got about 12 more minutes that we want to talk a little bit about St. Therese. There was something we were talking about in the break that really reminded me of a couple of things. When I was a Protestant, but looking at the Catholic Church, but looking at it from askance, really sure this is not right, this is not the place to be. But I went to a Mass, and I remember, again, the smells and bells, and it happened to be, I think it was during Advent, so they had some things that they were doing on this evening. They were doing confessions, so it must have been some sort of a confessional where they were having a special thing for that. But I remember when they finally did the Mass, and looking at these poor people who were actually beginning to kneel, and they really believed that that piece of baked paste up there is going to be God. And I remember when the priest invoked the words, at the same time, it came to me as the bells went off, what if it is? And a shiver went through me, partly because of the whole impact of the people around, of the movement, of the words, of the bells, of the whole experience. For me, that was, I won't say life-changing because there were so many other things that went into this, but it certainly was a very important component. Mm-hmm. This production is a marvelous way for people who have friends, relatives, perhaps that have not darkened a church door in decades, to be able perhaps to get them thinking once again. What do you think?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think that's one of the things I've noticed through all our shows that we've done, particularly when they're in a theater, what we call, you might call today, it's called safe space, you know, in the sense that you're not maybe going to a church or hearing a preaching or going to apologetical type of circumstance or not theology on tap or something like that. But the thing is, you know, this is an experience where they can come into the theater. And you can bring people who maybe aren't going to church anymore or are having some troubles in their marriage or family life, and they're kind of depressed or anxious about something. And even non-believers. Therese has an incredible relationship historically. You're talking about history and the bells and smells. She with people who do believe nothing whatsoever, and also with different religions. She has had a significant impact on those, even the Muslim faith. So, I mean, I think that it behooves all of your listeners out there, and those who are even Catholic out there who are listening to this program and just happen to come upon this, or you just happen to want to listen to this kind of program, come to see someone who's so beautiful, and you'll have this incredible experience of that this person actually cares about you personally and will pray for you, will do everything for you. And does it in such a tender, loving way that it kind of melts your heart. And we all need that. We all need that, because a lot of times it's, you know, we want to, you know what it is? What's the famous definition for America? Americanism is contemplation strangled by activity. You know, we're constantly...
That is so dark, but that is so true.
Yeah, and we're strangled sometimes because, boom, you know, busy, 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 busy. And this is a time, I think, this little different type of time or holy time, what do you want to call it, to take us, you know, to smell the roses, no pun intended with St. Therese, since she's symbolized by roses. But it's a chance, why don't you smell the roses for a change? Why don't you take a break and just experience this incredible person? Those who admire, say, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who would, might know of her more so because she's, you know, in recent times, you know, who has incredible devotion and was named after St. Therese, you can see the instinct of what she did, all those little things to help the poor, the same thing with Therese. She is the inspiration for so many people, so many movements in the world today. And she almost is the predecessor of Vatican II, the renewal. So I think opening the doors wide, right, so that other people, other faiths can learn that we're not a closed society.
Aggiornamento. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So that like St. John the 23rd now. So I think that's why it's important to bring your friends. And I'm hoping that everyone will come to this play, will storm the doors, and we'll bang, you know, so that there's no room for anyone to stay. So that it forces us to say, let's bring Therese even to more people. Because these are the reason we do, why are we doing this in the first place? What I feel like, these are the true heroes of culture, the true heroes of history, the true heroes of life. Because we have all these other kind of heroes. Your hero might be Spider-Man and Batman and all these other people that you do, that you want to hold on to, or a politician or whoever, a movie star, or whatever, whoever, a teacher, or whatever it is. But these are people who are incredible lights. They help us go down a path that brings us peace in our world. And that's why I find the saints to be so powerful. And that's why we need to get them out in our culture, in our society, so that people know them, because most people know nothing. They have no encounter. It might just be a book or a person they heard about. And that's why I think California, to think it's named after so many saints, but the people living in them have no clue what they're even living in.
No, that's very, very true. This would be an opportunity then for someone who knows someone else who's going through a time that's down,
yeah,
or going through other issues in life. If they want to get away and have something that will lift them up, this is an uplifting event.
Oh, absolutely.
This is one that if you do go, you're going to be not only glad that you went, but that you actually brought this person in. No one's going to be uncomfortable with this. And it's safe. When you're done, you've made no commitment to going back to a church. There's no one that's going to make you stand up and say, who's a visitor? There isn't going to be anything like
no
that.
No curtain call or no altar call.
And no one's going to lecture you from the stage. So that's good, too.
No.
We've got everything you need in order to do a little bit of outreach.
It's outreach, but also it's a work of art. You know, it's a beautiful work of art. So that's another thing. You know, all of us want to see something beautiful, and beauty and truth. When you combine those two, an artistic, beautiful work with something so inspirational. You know, the thing is, you want to entertain somebody in order to attract them, right? And you'd like to inspire them, right? That's what, you know, say a great movie would do or a great play. But this element goes bigger. It's deeper. It's richer. It evangelizes. And what does evangelization mean? It's just simply making the truth seen and heard, making God seen and heard in our lives through these incredible people. And that goes into a spiritual realm that touches you to your core. It just doesn't inspire you or just entertain you. You know, you're keeping my attention, or I enjoyed that, or something of that nature. You go away changed. You go away feeling something deeper in your life. And you realize, you look around and you say, you know, a lot of the stuff I'm doing is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. I'm not going to take anything with me. And so it gives you a moment of enrichment, but a challenge to do something even higher with your life, because everyone is called to something great. Even if you're a mother at home sweeping the floor or washing dishes of that nature, that is in itself a holy act.
I love the idea that you talked a little bit about evangelism. The word comes from the term for a good war report. back in the days of Rome, you didn't have, you couldn't text. They didn't have any.
Really?
Right. They would send a runner.
The Roman Empire.
They would send a runner, and the runner would go all the way back to whatever the encampment was with a report who won the battle. And that was what this was. It was a good war report. The battle is over. It's safe to come out now.
Yeah.
And this is a story of a young woman who evangelizes. She is that good war report in her life. For people who would like to get tickets, I know we gave out that the rcbo.org is one way that they can get a hold of you. What's your website?
Yeah, well, I would go for this particular one at stlukeproductions.com, but also go to just, it's real easy to remember for you down here in California, ccdramaseries.com, meaning ChristCathedralDramaSeries.com. Just go to that, and it'll take you right to how to get all the tickets here in the diocese and fill up that and try to go to those and bring especially your family, your young people that you have with you or your grandparents, whoever, your friends, because you can go right there and get those tickets online and reserve them. Get them before they're all gone.
Yeah, they're right now priced at $20 a piece, but as you've said before, these sell out, and this is so worth being able to come in and bring someone with you to be able to experience this show, this evangelism, this encounter with Christ through Therese.
Right.
Well, first of all, Leonardo, I want to thank you for coming in and talking with us today and spending the hour bravely going through not only your life, but also the production that we have coming up here. Would you lead us in a word of prayer on behalf of all of our listening audience?
Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we love you, we adore you. We ask for the intercession of St. Therese, the beloved St. Therese, the patron of all missionaries, of the missions, that she can open her heart to us and intercede for all those who are troubled, all those who are going through hard times right now, all those who are listening to this program right now, that you know you have a friend in St. Therese, that she will assist you and help lead you to him who made you and give you peace. We ask all of this in his holy name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and
of
the Holy
Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Once again, Leonardo, I want to thank you for coming in. And for anybody, again, who would like to buy tickets, they can go to CCDS and look that up online, and they'll be taken right to the website. That's January 27, 28, and 29. And you're going to want to reserve those tickets. Thank you again, Leonardo. Thank you all for listening. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. And if you would like to hear this again, you can upload this from a podcast that we've got available for you. All of our shows are warehoused in a podcast, and that would be through orangecountycatholicradio.org. And you can hear this anytime or recommend it to a friend. We'll see you again next week.